welcome to the 369th episode of Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with my terrific co-host, Keita Roberts, also known as Girl Carnivore, because of her creative and colorful culinary expertise. Keita?
We know that many of you cannot travel yet, but we also know that things will change, hopefully sooner rather than later. In the meantime, we're continuing this weekly show so that our half hour of armchair travel will take you back to those good old days and help you understand they will come back sooner rather than later.
And tonight, our special guest is Dennis Cox, cruise author, 14-time author, has written a lot of beautiful books, and a former SATW Photographer of the Year. Welcome, Dennis, to Travel Itch Radio.
Well, thanks, Dan, Keita. It's nice to be with you.
First of all, Dennis, warm congratulations upon publication of your 14th book of gorgeous photography. No wonder you were selected as the Photographer of the Year of 1997 by the Society of American Travel Writers, SATW. When did that book first come out?
Well, it's only been out now less than a month.
Can you tell our listeners about that book? How big is it? How many pictures it contains? And how long that book took to assemble?
Yes, the book is a limited edition of just 2,000 copies. And it's a large format coffee table type book of 208 pages. And it's filled with 535 photos, although there are several full-page photos included throughout the book. Putting the book together was an ongoing process. It started out with some of my favorite photos of ocean and river ships in my files, and that kept growing as I went on more cruises. It seriously began to take shape after I became the official photographer for the website allthingscruise.com. That was about 5 years ago. When I got the idea to do a book, which was only 2 or 3 years ago, I began looking through my files of stock photos that had been accumulated over the years, and that's when I got the idea to expand the idea of what constitutes a cruise. And so I define it as wherever there's a body of water with vessels that carry passengers.
Okay. And just so all of our listeners know, the name of the book is Cruising the World from Gondolas to Megaships, Cruises of All Kinds on 7 Continents. This is an oversized book, a coffee table book, and a gorgeous book. I happen to have one right in my hand. And Dennis, we understand that the book features photographs from more than 77 different countries and 7 different continents. Since you couldn't have taken them all on one trip, how many years do those photos span?
Well, there's some photos in the book that go back as far as 40 years ago when I took a trip to Africa with a writer who actually did the text for this book, Clark Norton. Clark and I were friends in high school in Greencastle, Indiana, and we're both members of the SATW. Clark had an assignment at that time to do a story for Rolling Stone on newly independent Zimbabwe. So he asked me to go along to collaborate with that and stories on Lesotho and Lamu, Kenya. After we witnessed the first parliament session in Zimbabwe in Salisbury, we drove a rental car around the country viewing damage from the war and even picked up some ZANU-PF army guerrillas who were hitchhiking. Eventually, we made it to Lake Kariba, where we had a boatman take us on a cruise around the lake dodging hippos. So that's the very first cruise photo included in the book. There are also a couple of photos from our last stop in Lamu on the Swahili coast, where we did a story on the launching of a large traditional dhow. I recently photographed more dhows in Zanzibar that are used for sightseeing cruises. The dhows apparently never change there. While there are a few older photos, most of the book was shot in the last decade or two. The last 2 or 3 years have been a flurry of cruises and road trips, mostly around the U.S., and to gather photos to fill out subjects in the book. Some are geographic, and some were about the recent developments and innovations in cruising, like the megaships.
Dennis, how many different vessels are included, and have you tried them all? I once had the experience of taking a Venice gondola ride alone, with the gondolier serenading me and lots of people laughing at me as we passed under the footbridge.
Well, there are 37 kinds of vessels in the book, and no, I didn't go on a gondola. I was on a budget, and I was too busy shooting them to get in one. A couple of ships in the book that I cruised on are particularly noteworthy. The small ship Leponant is the only ship that was hijacked for ransom by Somali pirates. This was after I sailed on it, unfortunately, and no passengers were on it when it was hijacked. I also visited Cuba in 2018 on the Adonia, which was a cruise company, Fathom Cruise Line, set up by Carnival to get into Cuba, and that was in 2016, and that was the first ship to dock in Cuba in more than half a century.
We're talking with Dennis Cox, the author of Cruising the World, From Gondolas to Megaships.
I really enjoyed following what Fathom Cruise Lines was doing. Do the boats you described come in all shapes and sizes, from ancient dhows to high-tech megaships? And which do you prefer? I know which ones I'm a fan of.
Well, actually, the smallest vessels in the book are actually bamboo rafts in Jamaica for two people. I guess only one could go on it if Dan was there. Then scaled up to the largest megaship, which is currently Royal Caribbean's Oasis class, the Symphony of the Seas. And that has a maximum capacity of 6,870. Other cruise lines like MSC, Carnival, and Norwegian are all in close competition to see how many passengers they can stuff on those megas. The entertainment on these ships is amazing. And the entertainment, they become like complete cities with amusement parks next to a resort, next to a shopping mall, next to a hotel, and with restaurants all around the neighborhood. For many cruises, the megas are a bit over the top, however, and much too large, and they prefer the older model of simply a floating hotel with a great formal dining room and nice public spaces like uncluttered decks with pools and quiet places to lounge about. So some cruise lines are countering the megas with more luxury and all-inclusive cruises, such as Viking Ocean Cruises and Viking Richard Branson's recent startup, Virgin Voyages. As to which one I like the best, I kind of like them all in a different way.
And what are some of the more unusual vessels?
Well, megaships with surfing, go-karts, and bumper cars are fairly unusual. Some unusual boats where you can stay overnight that have been converted are the junks at Ha Long Bay in North Vietnam, houseboats that were originally for hauling rice on the backwaters of Kerala and southern India, and the commercial barges, canal barges in the UK and France that are now being converted into luxury cruisers. But my favorites are the ones I went out of the way to photograph, the colorful trajineras at the floating gardens of Xochimilco, which are near Mexico City.
Trajineras. Is it true the trips that you depict range from fast to slow, from the currents of the Antarctic expeditions to a barge through that beautiful French wine country?
Yes, I'm not sure what speed that expedition ship that I went on to Antarctica was going, since I stayed flat on my back and in my bunk the whole time as we were going through the bumpy Drake Passage. There were four or five passengers on board who broke bones bouncing off the walls on the way down, and they had to go to shore in Zodiacs holding their crutches. That ship was an old Russian research ship, probably a spy ship, with a Russian crew and a Canadian staff. Three of the Canadians were women who had cross-country skied all the way to the South Pole, and I was amazed by their photographer who had made spectacular photos of that trip under extremely hazardous, horrendous conditions. As for the barge in France, it's possibly my favorite cruise because it moves so slow that you could get off at a lock and walk faster than the barge moved. So you could shoot photos of the barge with continually changing backgrounds as you walked along through the countryside. And then you could get back on aboard at another lock. The cuisine and wine on the barges is unusually good. Is usually very good. It's France, after all. And there are tours of several chateaus and wineries along the way on that tour.
Personally speaking, Dennis, I especially enjoyed several cruises on riverboats like the American Queen and Mississippi Queen. Some people might not consider them to be actual cruises, but what's your take, and are they included in your book?
Well, those paddlewheel steamboats may be the only cruises Americans can go on this year if they can't leave the country and get back in. In my book, I have a few of them, including the American Duchess of the American Queen Steamboat Company, and I photographed that in Louisville on the Ohio River. I also photographed the century-old Belle of Louisville, which I was there when I was there. It's the oldest operating steamboat in America, a really beautiful boat to photograph. Cincinnati has three paddle wheelers, and I photographed that on the way to Louisville. And I included the Natchez from New Orleans, which is a famous steamboat. And there are three more in the book.
Yeah, I've been on the Natchez a few times. I love their calliope. It's great. And Dennis, there are ferry boats all over the world, from New York to Seattle and throughout Southeast Asia. I love the Lowe's Cape May ferry that cuts driving time on the Delmarva Peninsula here in the Northeast. Do you have a place for ferries in your book?
Well, there are a couple dozen pages with ferries throughout the book. My favorites are the Greek Isle ferries. I once had a photo explorer tours that I led that used almost entirely ferries for transportation on the tour. They're a very convenient way of getting to Santorini, Mykonos, and some of the lesser-known islands. I also included a sidebar in the book about Baltic ferries. Reputedly, these 24-hour ferries on weekends between Finland and Sweden are known for being the scene of wild parties with heavy drinking, especially on weekends and holidays.
Well, one of my favorite cruises was a trip to the Galapagos on a luxury yacht with 10 cabins. Have you ever had a chance to try that?
Well, I hadn't intended to include the Galapagos Islands in the book since the book was supposed to be completed last November at 200 pages. However, I got an invitation from Latin Trails in Ecuador to do a luxury cruise in the Galapagos in January. they had two yachts that were being fully refurbished that they wanted photographed. So I didn't want to pass up having a chance to have those in the book. And as it turned out, I had to add a few pages. The timing turned out to be very good because I finished the book just in time ahead of the travel ban.
Okay.
Since I'm not a wildlife photographer, I decided to photograph on that cruise mostly about the yachts and zodiacs that passengers take ashore to the island. Most tourists book cruises on those yachts that are 16 passengers each, which is probably what you were on. And each has two zodiacs for going ashore. A few other yachts operate there now with 100 passengers, which is the maximum size allowed. All the yachts must be owned by local residents there and are only leased by tour companies operating tours. As for photographing the wildlife, the Galapagos has to be the easiest place in the world to get photos up close. Sea lions, iguanas, even the birds like the blue boobies are so accustomed to people that you can get up very close to shoot them, which is my kind of wildlife photography.
Can I interject here quickly, Dan?
I'm sorry, Keita?
Can I interject here quickly? I wanted to
shout
out that I did a report on those birds in the fourth grade, and I admire that we all still giggle when we say them. That's all.
Good point. Dennis, major cruise lines have often featured theme cruises to attract patrons with particular interest. I've hosted 24 baseball cruises, for example, and invited star players and Hall of Famers to join. Do you have any experience with themes on a cruise like country music, food and wine, or colonial America?
Well, I haven't been on any, but my writer, Clark Norton, was the theme cruise columnist for Porthole Cruise magazine for 6 years. One column he did was on nude cruises. And I'm not sure I'm glad or sorry that I missed on that one.
Well, it depends who else you're with. And we're talking with Dennis Cox, author of Cruising the World from Gondolas to Megaships. Keita?
I know what line of that side I'd be on there. Cruising the World is a great title, Dennis, especially for those who lust for travel, especially with this current time. Is it fair to say that it is the perfect book for armchair cruising?
You can definitely say that. I can certainly say that hours could be spent going through the photos in the book and while you're tucked away safely in your bunker. And the book is also a good read, thanks to Clark, terrific writer.
It certainly is a coffee table book with pictures that seem to jump right off of those pages, making the readers actually feel alive in those places that you've described. As the photographer, do you feel that it's true that a picture is indeed worth 1,000 words?
Well, that's a cliche I'd never quite agree with. There are photos, great and bad, that would take more than 1,000 words to explain. And I've seen photos that made me speechless. So hopefully there are some of those in the book. or at least some that make you say the word wow.
I want to tell our listeners you're listening to Travel Itch Radio with Dan Schlossberg and Keita Roberts. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com or check out the archive show on Facebook. And we're talking with Dennis Cox, author of Cruising the World from Gondolas to Megaships.
So, Dennis, we are dying to know, how did you get started as a photographer, especially as a travel photographer?
Well, I got started after college when I bought a Minolta camera, which my roommate had bought a Canon, and I got the Minolta for $20 cheaper. So I was a social worker in Detroit at the time and began doing some traveling, as well as doing some photography as an editor for my local union newspaper. And my first foreign trip was to England in the early 70s with a friend. The two of us were invited to go with a high school group as chaperones. So those are my first photos that were they're put in a stock agency. We subsequently did tours to Scandinavia and Russia and around South America. Then in 1976, a trip to China with an invited delegation of the U.S.-China People's Friendship Association got me started on photographing China. I've since been there over 50 times, have a Chinese wife, and have done 4 small books on China, plus an extra large one for a French publisher. That was a coffee table book that was heavy enough to break a coffee table. As this is June 4th, I'm reminded that I had completed a book on how Beijing was rapidly changing in the late 80s. The book was to be called The Imperial City Transformed, and it was all ready to be published when the massacre in Tiananmen Square occurred on June 4th, 1989. And that was not the transformation I had in mind when I did the book, so the book was never published. Early on in my China travels, I wrote about Chinese photography for some photo magazines, including articles on the original photographers of China Reconstructs, which was a magazine founded in 1949 by Madame Sun Yat-sen. And I also wrote about a photographer, the late Wu Yin-Chin, who's considered to be the father of Chinese photojournalism. Wu would photograph Mao Zedong and other communist leaders on the Long March and at the Revolutionary Base. And I subsequently was a photo agent for Wu and also for Mao's personal photographer, Liu Homin, and I still have a file of their historic photos. But backing up a bit, the trip that first got me started as a professional travel photographer was to Cuba in 1978. I went with a group of academics and business types from the Detroit Council on World Affairs. And before that trip, I had queried some magazines because it looked like there was going to be a tour starting to Cuba, and the only magazine that responded was Town and Country, and they mistakenly thought I had pitched a writing assignment, and they gave me one. And when I got back after a lot of struggle, I submitted the article, and surprisingly, it was published. The book was the magazine article title was Havana, Hemingway, Hijackers, and Hospitality. As for the hijackers, in case you're wondering, they were two young black men, Americans, that a friend of the group and I had met in a park. They had hijacked planes to Cuba and served time in Cuban prisons. Although they were free and had jobs, they wanted to come back to the U.S. One of them, Byron, had hijacked a plane ostensibly for political reasons. He had been an activist in the Black Power movement. But the other guy, who wasn't too bright, was just a copycat hijacker. After the trip back in Detroit, we told our story to a reporter at the Detroit Free Press who wrote it up, and the story went nationally, and those two hijackers, along with 9 others, 11 altogether, were shipped back to the U.S. where they all went to prison. A bit later, Byron called me to invite me to visit him in a federal prison in nearby Milan, Michigan. Since I'd never been to a prison, I went to see him. Later, when he was married and working in Ohio, he sent Christmas cards to me for several years.
Oh, I have so many questions, Dennis, but our time is limited. Has your work appeared in newspapers, magazines, online outlets, in addition to those 14 books that you published?
Well, I did a lot of assignment work in the 80s and 90s for magazines like U.S. News and World Report, Forbes, and other business magazines. Also occasionally shot for Time, Newsweek, Smithsonian. The only travel assignments I did were mostly for regional, like Midwest Living Magazine, which I shot for about 25, I shot for about 15 years. And for travel, I shot mostly for stock. I had my own stock agencies, China Stock, which had China photos plus hard to find photos by several Chinese photographers, and World Views, which was for my world travel images. Some of the magazines that I had photos in were Travel and Leisure, Islands, National Geographic Traveler, Geo, and several in-flight magazines. I also was the only foreign photographer to ever have a photo on the cover of China Reconstructs magazine in China.
That is, once again, filled with questions for you, but you obviously travel a lot, except maybe not right now during this pandemic. If all things were equal, how often would you be on the road?
Well, I generally traveled in the past in spurts, and on the busiest years when I was doing photo tours, I might do 6 or 8 major foreign trips a year. Last 2 years, shooting for this book, I did several cruises and road trips, and after that, I was ready for a good break, but I didn't necessarily expect it to be several months in quarantine.
We're talking with Dennis Cox, author of Cruising the World, From Gondolas to Megaships. Dennis, since you have truly spanned the world, what is your favorite destination and why?
Well, lately I've been answering that question by saying it's the one I haven't been to yet. China was a favorite for a long time, but now it's become too much like the rest of the world. For a while, I liked South Africa so much that I was ready to buy a house in Cape Town overlooking the ocean, partly because the exchange rate with the rand was so good. But the Brits and Germans came down and snapped up all those bargains. There's an attraction I have now for Africa that's primal. I recently went to Uganda and the Serengeti in Tanzania, which is mystical. I also get those feelings from Ireland and Wales, probably because I have Scots, Irish, and Welsh ancestry. The cities I particularly like are ones with great architecture and easy walking, such as Prague and Ljubljana in Slovenia. For photography, I think my favorite destinations would be Rajasthan and Burma. Both are absolutely fabulous for their colorful subjects.
Oh, we could, once again, go on for hours about this, but let's bring it back to those ships. What are your favorite cruise ships and cruise lines?
Well, I've done blogs now for All Things Cruise on 3 Holland America ships and been 5 cruises altogether. They seem to do everything well, from great food to friendly service to a variety of entertainment. I was told the hotel manager of the Westerdam that the captain of the Eurodam had told me that his ship was the friendliest damn ship in the fleet. He responded that all the Holland America ships are friendly. He said that everyone on the crew was expected to always greet passengers with a good morning or a hello. I told him that one of his crew failed to say anything to me when I passed him the other day, and he just laughed and said, "Who is he? I'll fire him."
That's cute. I also dig the joke there. As the host of the Girl Carnivore webpage, where I do not practice my travel photography, but more about food, I'm curious to know where to find the best food and wine on these river cruises or general cruises. Any personal recommendations?
Well, I'm not the best guy to ask that, Kita. I thought the British chef on a French canal barge was serving good food, and I was jokingly telling the group that to get French food, we'd have to go on a barge cruise in the UK. But speaking of French food, one of the best hotel restaurants in Europe is supposed to be the Hotel de la Cité in Carcassonne. My wife and I stayed there, and we had reservations for the restaurant and decided instead to get a pizza in an outdoor cafe because we thought the town was so neat. And we were a bit tired of having gourmet French meals every night. And I'm still asking myself, what was I thinking? Years ago, I had a great experience in Kyoto with a steakhouse there that was owned by an American who stayed on it after World War II. And the Kobe beef, which is the most expensive meat in the world, comes from cows that are fed beer and hand massaged. The small dinner at that time was like a $95. And I went back a few years later, and it was twice that. The thing I remember most about that first visit is that when we were ready to leave, I went to sit down to put my shoes on when the host, Tiny Tokiko, who was the wife of the owner, she looked very, very traditional Japanese in her kimono, and she stuck a whoopee cushion under me. And I heard later that she had pulled the same prank on Bill Clinton.
I have been able to taste test that beef, and I can speak that it is amazing. However, that joke is pretty cute, and I'm glad that she did that. How charming. What about restaurants while you're traveling? I know this is a little bit off shift, but anything you can't wait to return to?
Well, I would return to that Japanese restaurant. It's called the Yoshiya, but I couldn't remember the name of it when I was there about 2 years ago.
Dennis, in your opinion, what is the very best thing about cruising? I'm guessing sunrise, sunset, the sound of lapping waves, or the serenity of sitting on deck under a full moon.
Well, I love all those things, and walking on the panorama deck after dinner is great. Cruises are a great way to get around the world to see places fairly efficiently, meaning there's no need to change hotels, and not a lot of thought is required about where to eat every day. Since I'm a workaholic, I really enjoy photographing on a ship and from a ship, and shooting the ship itself while it's in port, and shooting the ports too.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we're down to the last few minutes. So where can Travel Itch Radio listeners find your photographs, and also how can they buy a copy of your beautiful book, Cruising the World, From Gondolas to Megaships?
Well, they can order the book on my website, DennisCox.com, and Since I don't get to talk as long as I want, and I really like people to see this book, I know they'd love it if they actually could see it. So if they would like to order one before this weekend, there will be free shipping on the book. All they have to do is put in the promo code SHIPFREE. And I like to point out that it's a limited edition of only 2,000 copies, and there are 30 million passengers that cruise, so don't wait too long to place your orders at DennisCox.com.
That sounds great. Our guest tonight has been Dennis Cox, author of Cruising the World, From Gondolas to Megaships. Thank you for joining us on Travel Itch Radio.
Thank you, Dan and Keita, for inviting me. And practice safe cruising, everyone.
Okay, and as a father myself, I'm well aware that Father's Day is coming on fast, June 21st, to be exact, and there's no better gift than my book, The New Baseball Bible, an unorthodox illustrated history that's not only the most unusual baseball book ever published, but costs less than a sawbuck. Such a deal. Order on Amazon.com today as a gift for a special someone or even for yourself. And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Next week, same time, same station, same writer, and same announcers, we'll talk with Sue Springer, manager of the award-winning Kansas Byways program. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg along with my beautiful and talented co-host, Keita Roberts, a.k.a. Girl Carnivore, saying thank you for your time this time until next time. Good night and stay safe.